Well, there's no question that the news in bass fishing, and I can remember the days when we first started Bass Fan, is that it was like everybody said, there's no way you can cover, not enough news in bass fishing, but there's plenty of news in bass fishing to the point where we're going to start doing a daily show on Bass Fan. And Bass Fan today will be covering all the latest topics. We'll have people on that maybe you've heard a lot about, maybe tournament winners, some of those kind of things, but we're going to do this on a daily basis. And today is the first day that we're going to start out. And I've asked John Storm, who's the editor-in-chief of Bass Fan, to kind of come on and talk a little bit about the state of the union when it comes to bass fishing. And John, you know, I guess the first thing is welcome to the program. Welcome to something new we're doing here at Bass Fan. But, you know, everybody talks about the good old days. And in reality, I think the good old days are now when it comes to bass fisheries.
Well, Terry, I would definitely largely agree with you. Some of that is because what's happening to our water bodies and our lakes over time, a lot of it's also through intensive stocking and management. Basically, when you look at the past 20, 25 years, we have a period of great reservoir growth in the heartland of the U.S. and the Southeast, and that really provided the explosion in bass fishing. A lot of those reservoirs then peaked and really didn't come back until there was quite a bit of habitat work and management work. And you see that now with the grass in Gunnersville, one of the best bass fisheries in the country. You see it at Lake Fork, with the intensive slot limits and the management and the stocking work there. And the simple truth is there's more bass now available for anglers in the United States than there ever has been before, and that's all three species, largemouth, smallmouth, and spots.
I want to go down a path with you because we've got some lakes here in central part of the country. I live in Illinois. You know, we've had some lakes that are, you know, in the 50, 60, 70-year-old group, and, you know, they've been through a myriad of spells. They've been where they've been really, really good. They've been where they've been very poor. And really not a lot of change other than, you know, increased vegetation, maybe the water quality's a little bit better, we haven't had a drought year, or maybe even in some cases, John, we've had a drought year that allowed these fish to really flourish because people didn't get on and take the fish off the bodies of water because they couldn't get in because of ramps and whatever. You know, do you see that across the country as you did, you know, as you develop stories for Bass Fan?
Well, I don't know that it's drought-related. It's certainly something they found out about 10 or 15 years ago, that a winter drawdown or a period of drought is important to a reservoir population, because although it might limit the population in the short term, what happens is a drought or winter drawdown exposes a lot of the bank. The bank is then allowed to replenish with growth, with buckbrush, with small trees and shrubs, maybe some new trees, you know, laydowns occur, things like that. Then when the water comes back up, the fish then have more spawning opportunity. That can be crucial, and that's one of the reasons that winter drawdowns are very important. Now, I can't say exactly that drought is good for bass fishing. I mean, certainly we need a lot of fresh water coming into the lakes, but rising and lowering water levels can have a positive effect on a bass population. That's been proven many times.
Well, and I guess I'm going down a path with you. I'm not just talking about drought. I'm talking about the kind of the reconditioning of a lake. We've got lakes that are 650, 1,200 acres, maybe up to 12,000 to 15,000 acres. And you'll see them, they'll run these spells where all of a sudden everybody's catching, you know, good quality and good quantities of fish. And then all of a sudden it's like they're all gone again. And it seems like they're weather related, they're habitat related. And you know, you mentioned stocking earlier, but stocking has such a small part in Illinois, it seems like, you know, that's not a big, big push, but it seems the environment has as much to do with it as anything else.
Well, there's a few factors at play there. One of that is most lakes and rivers over time will eutrophy, meaning they will get more fertile, they will receive more sedimentation, and that certainly happens in areas of urban and suburban growth. Areas where there is, say, impenetrable surface or impermeable surface, the water runs off that surface over people's lawns, collects all of the fertilizer from the lawns, dumps it into the lake, the weeds in the lake explode. Now, that is harmful for some species. It happens to often be good for bass. And that's not to say that we want all of our lakes to eutrophy, but certainly more fertile lakes do seem to often produce bigger bass. Lake Geary was a lake that was heavily eutrophied in the 1970s. That was from farm runoff and phosphorus and detergents. Now, that's a little different story because there it's the zebra mussels. The zebra mussels have cleared the water, and that has really set the stage for smallmouth bass, which are, you know, pretty sight-oriented in their feeding, to really take off and explode in population was the walleye and perch that used to dominate the lake, and the lake trout are kind of now play second fiddle to bass.
Well, John, you know, it's neat to see our country. You know, we're not adding very many lakes. Matter of fact, if you do add a lake, it's usually around a new subdivision, you know, where we're going out and the urban sprawl continues. But I think it is getting better. I'm a 51-year-old man that's fished most of my life, and I see our lakes getting better. I see our lakes, you know, turning out better populations of fish. We're having records set. You know, Steve Kennedy just broke a record out at Clear Lake. We had the year before that. Preston Clark did it, you know, at Santee Cooper. So we're starting to see maybe some of our better lakes get even better.
Yeah, boy, it's really tough to put a finger on it. But again, I mean, we are absolutely talking about bass. And I would say that assuredly the bass fishing's better than it's ever been. And a lot of that, too, is catch and release because guys just aren't keeping their bass for the coolers like they may have 20 years ago.
Well, I'm going to shift gears on you. I want to talk about a little bit about the state of the bass fishing world that you see it. You know, we just had Steve Kennedy, that I mentioned, just, you know, surpassed all the records when it came to a tournament win with 122-plus pounds. But you look now at the state of the Elite Series, FLW Tour, all those kind of things that you cover on a routine basis. You're starting to see these guys get some pretty good notoriety in the New York Times, Washington Post, a lot of places. Newsweek even has some things every once in a while, USA Today. Are you seeing that, John, from your perspective, do you think that bass fishing is here for real now or not?
I would say no. I don't think it's arrived yet. But maybe it's arrived to the point where it's going to arrive. And let me quantify that for a minute. What I mean is when ESPN purchased Bass, it's not a very well-kept secret that they thought it was going to be the next NASCAR. I don't think it's ever going to get the type of viewership that a NASCAR gets. But that's how ESPN defines its success in the sport, is based on a TV-type model and viewership. FLW Outdoors is a little different. They're, I believe, I can't say for sure, but a little more concerned with overall participation. And to really answer that question, you know, you'd have to look at, is participation in the sport growing? Has it flatlined? Is it going backwards? And that's pretty difficult to quantify because it would take a very scientific study of the whole population of the U.S. Now, I certainly believe bass fishing is more visible now than it's ever been. I believe there's more big dollars in the sport from companies that weren't necessarily involved before. And that's a good thing for the pros. How that filters down to fans and participants of bass fishing is still going to take a couple of years to settle out.
Well, let's go down a path. I mean, I see these wrap boats and these trucks and, you know, companies that weren't involved and some of those kind of things. Is that sort of maybe a little bit of false or misleading, or is that really the kind of where it's going? I mean, you look here across the country, you're seeing companies that are getting involved in bass fishing that 5 years ago you wouldn't even have thought they'd even been part of it.
Yeah, companies like Alltel Communications with Scott Rook, or there's power companies, there's automobile companies, there's gas companies, there's everybody, and everybody in some way is involved, whether locally, nationally, regionally, however they choose to do it. I do think that's the way it's going. You know, there is a small set of tackle companies and boat manufacturers in the industry that really can't support a pro field of 300 tour-level anglers, which is about where we're at right now. And those companies continue to get smaller. There's conglomeration in the business. Rapala owns a number of companies. Recently bought Terminator. Pure Fishing owns a number of companies. Both of those will likely continue to grow. So in order to make it as a pro fisherman, you've really got to go outside the industry to get your dollars, to get your entry fees, to get your gas money, things like that. And what that takes, and what pro anglers have gotten a lot better at, is being able to quantify what they can do for a company in terms of media impressions, in terms of relating to sponsors, customers, and in terms of relating to sponsors, buyers, which is a big thing. If a tool company sponsors you, yes, it's important to generate them on the public impressions for that company, but it's just as important to, say, attend trade shows with the company and relate to the buyers, and get more buyers buying their product, which will then filter down to the consumer public. So what we need to see, what is happening, is that pro anglers are much more proactive, much more educated about how to market and sell themselves, and that's key.
Well, John, I'm going to turn the tables one more time here and talk about some of the other things that are going on a daily basis. You know, we talk about now we've got this sport and it's growing, it looks like it's starting to take shape. What are some of the things you're covering right now in the way of bass fishing that maybe the public would want to be tuned in here in the next week or two to BassFan.com to see what else is covered and where are you going? Are you just covering tournaments or what's happening?
No, we cover tournaments. We cover the lifestyle. We cover what the pros do on a daily basis and business relationships. We're also heavy on stats. I think one of the major things happening right now is Kevin Van Dam's coming back to mortality. You know, he was had a massive lead in the Bassman World Rankings as late as a couple of weeks ago. Now both Steve Kennedy and Skeet Reese have pulled in to within about a point and a half and 2.5 points, respectively, of Van Dam. So there's a big three-way battle up at the top to be the number one angler in the world. Of course, the Bassman World Rankings work in a two-year rolling cycle, a lot like other sports ranking systems do, whether it be golf or tennis or whatnot. That's certainly something I'm watching very closely. I mean, all three of those guys are red hot. They're all at the top of their game. Reese has made 6 top 12s in his last 6 events, and that's pretty awesome. Another thing I'm looking at, too, is, you know, how VHS regulations are really going to affect tournament angling. And this has already been reported on Bass Fan, but this is a new fish health concern. It's viral hemorrhagic septicemia, and there is a group of affected states around the Great Lakes. And basically what the federal order says is that you're not allowed to transport fish into or out of those affected states. Now, the unintended consequence is that you can't transport fish in a live well across a river that borders one of those states for a weigh-in. I know that both leagues are lobbying with the government to get an exemption for tournaments and manage it more on a watershed basis, but that's one of the ones out there that's going to hit at the gut of a lot of guys this summer because it's going to affect their weekend tournaments in a major way.
Well, you think about the Mississippi River, Ohio River, a lot of those places, as well as the Great Lakes. Those are all impacted by VHS. And I think we're just going to have to kind of sit and watch and then also get involved in your local municipalities if you can and ask them, you know, to try to look at those exemptions and see what makes sense there.
Right. You know, BassFan is a news agency. We report on the news. We really don't make the news or try to make the news or take political stances. We just report the news, but we would put it out there to anglers that this is something that's going to affect you, and you need to get involved because the order might become permanent in as little as a month, and once it does, it's going to be a heck of a lot harder to change.
Well, John, I want to also ask you before we get out of here today, you know, one of the things is that I'm seeing is a grassroots movement, you know, and the changes that have occurred with it. We had the Federation was just one big happy family owned by Bass. That split up. Now you're seeing all these different grassroots organizations. It seems that more people are fishing, but maybe it's a little bit more fractured. What's your take on that?
Well, it's definitely fractured. And, you know, sometimes that can be a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. You know, when Ma Bell broke up, that turned out to be a good thing for people in a lot of ways, whether it was rates or service and things like that. And there was a monopoly on the grassroots that Bass had, and it did fracture and it did split. Now, one negative point of that is I really think that the grassroots level has lost its oomph in Washington. It doesn't have the ability to affect legislation like it did 15 or 20 years ago or when the anglers came to stop the weed kill at Guntersville. It was like a revival. You just don't see that anymore, and there's not a certain focal point or something pushing towards legislation that's going to help bass anglers. And VHS is just one example.
Well, John, you know, as we progress and we do this show, we're going to cover the rest of this week. You and I are going to have an opportunity to kind of forecast what we think is going to happen at the Guntersville event with BASS, talk a little bit about the FLW Tour upcoming and what's going on there. Of course, they're going to Lake Norman, which is a tough, tough fishery. A lot of fish, but not very many big ones. We'll talk to some anglers, and we're going to do a lot of things here with Bass Fan Radio today. And, John, I'm looking forward to this. You and I are going to have some fun doing this deal.
Yeah, we are, Terry. It's going to be great. I'm John Storm.
I'm Terry Brown. And this has been Bass Fan Radio Today. We look forward to talking to you just about every day about bass fishing.